This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. When it comes to great places to dine, there's no shortage in Greater Cincinnati. There are dozens of excellent restaurants in our area featuring a wide variety of cuisines and dining experiences. In this month's issue of Cincinnati Magazine, editors list what they consider to be the top 10 restaurants in town, from L to Orchids. And joining us from Cincinnati Magazine to talk about the restaurants that made the top 10 list and how it's put together are dining editor Joanne Drilling, contributing editor Alyssa Brandt, and contributing writer and restaurant reviewer Akshay Ahuja. What's your pick for the best restaurant in Greater Cincinnati? Let us know at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Alyssa, Akshay, and Joanne, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
How many years has Cincinnati Magazine been doing this now, Joanne? I mean, it seems like they've been making this list forever and ever.
You caught me a little off guard.
That's a good approximation. I think that timeline
forever and ever.
Yeah, forever and ever.
That's how it feels to you guys, right?
That's the scientific answer.
Yeah. Well, talk about the process for doing this. How do you go about picking these restaurants?
Well, it's actually a fairly lengthy process. We really get started late July, early August. We start by meeting and making a list. Where are the restaurants that we should consider this year? And I think, you know, did we each bring 20, 25?
I think that's right.
Places
that's
right. To our initial meeting. And then we put together a working list. And altogether, I think we visited 26, 27 places this year.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. And we put together that working list. And then this year, Alyssa was the one who coordinated all the reservations. So we are eating pretty much at three places a week. Towards the end, there was maybe more. We were just trying to wrap it up. But, working from basically the beginning of September until Thanksgiving to visit all of these places at least once, sometimes with revisits, just to get an idea. I mean, when you think of that many places, you know, unless you want to go every single dinner 7 days a week, you really have to give yourself time to do it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a time-consuming project.
It is. A lot of planning happens way far ahead. And I think sometimes that's a little bit confusing to people, as they're like, well, why weren't we considered this year, you know, for the magazine? And it's actually, we finished the dining by Thanksgiving for an issue that is released at the beginning of March, just so we have enough time to get all the photography taken care of. And it's definitely a big project for our team at the magazine.
So what's the criteria to be considered for this fine dining upscale? How do you categorize this? What criteria do you lay out?
Well, we call this feature Where to Eat Now. And so it doesn't mean just fancy white tablecloth restaurants. It means kind of where are the restaurants, or what are the restaurants that are really kind of the pulse of the city, that are really what's new, what's interesting, what's diverse in Cincinnati right now.
So, Alyssa, what's your favorite part of doing this?
The favorite part is probably discovering restaurants that I had either heard about but had not eaten at yet, and just trying some of the very diverse ethnic offerings that the city has, which I think for a city of Cincinnati size, that you can get hand-pulled Chinese noodles, that you can get excellent pita dosas, incredible Japanese food, some things that were new to even seasoned eaters, mm-hmm. I think is just an amazing testament to the vibrancy of the dining scene. So new discoveries, I think that's my favorite part.
Okay, what's your favorite part of doing this?
Yeah, I was fairly new to the city, actually, when I started doing this. So it was kind of my introduction to all the things that were happening here. And I also loved sort of the articles that we wrote afterwards on specific elements of the craft, like the people I got to interview and talk to about sort of the nitty-gritty of what they do.
Yeah. How did you say you're new? How new are you?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think of the dining scene in Cincinnati?
Oh, I'm amazed at how vibrant it is. And one of the things that Joanne mentioned that I think kind of relates to your last question is that it's great that there's so much good food at different price points, that it isn't all. And I think we were glad that the list came out the way that it wasn't all, you know, very, very expensive food, but there were sort of things across the whole range that was all, you know, that was all good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can really eat well at any price point in mm-hmm. Cincinnati.
How tough is it to narrow down this list, though? I mean, you're each coming in with like 20, 25 different places to try, How difficult was that part of the job?
It's tough. I mean, I think first we looked to see what all three of us had on the list. You know, if all three of us had one, you know, say soda, we were like, we're going to Soto. You know, so that's kind of, you know, what we all agreed on in a consensus. Those places were pretty much on the list first. And then we went back and we were like, this one or that one? Or the, you know, and we really kind of talked about, you know, okay, do we already have four Italian restaurants? You know, maybe we want to hit at least one or two Japanese restaurants. And so we really tried to make sure it was a balanced list. And like actually said, not just expensive restaurants, not just Italian restaurants, not just steakhouses, so that it was a really, you know, cross-section of what was happening in the city.
I forgot to ask you, Joanne, what's your favorite part of doing this?
You know, it's funny, and this is something all three of us have talked about, because we all three really like to cook at home, is when you go to a restaurant and you eat something and you think, you know what? That's really great. And for me, the example was that we had quail when we went to Soto. And I've eaten quail. My dad is a big hunter. And so I've eaten quail prepared a couple different ways. But they just had this amazing dish of quail that were just grilled really simply and served with seasonal vegetables. And I was like, I want to go home and grill some quail. And like, you know, it inspired us to take those, you know, those things that we really enjoyed sitting, eating that someone else had cooked for us and go home and try our own hand at it.
And I noticed that chicken liver, I believe it was chicken liver mousse was something that you sampled.
We ate a lot.
We ate a lot of chicken liver mousse.
A lot. How much is a lot? I'm afraid to ask.
Some very good, very, very good samplings.
At least five different restaurants we've probably had chicken liver mousse.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. And what's the story behind yogurt and cocktails?
Oh, that. So Chris Brown, who is the beverage manager at Metropole, he's really an alchemist when it comes to cocktail flavors. And so in addition to their wood-fired oven in the restaurant, their beverage program kind of is as creative as their food, and he is constantly on the lookout for new and different flavors. He got married last year and traveled to South Korea, where he I think his mother's Korean, and he was sort of reintroduced to these popular yogurt drinks there. And he thought, "Wow, I really want to try this back at Metropole and see if I can create my own version." So I'm actually really looking forward to sampling that when it comes out.
Yeah, I never would have thought of yogurt in a cocktail. That is an interesting.
I wouldn't have either, but in his capable hands, I'm excited about it.
Were the beverages one of the considerations when you were judging these restaurants, but what they had on their beverage list?
Definitely. We always look at the cocktail menu. We look at, in many cases, the bourbon selection. We look at the wine list, all of that.
Okay. What else did you look at, Joanne?
Well, I should probably back up just a little bit. We put together this dine sheet that's pretty extensive, and so everybody has copies of it before we even go out. And so we already know exactly what we're looking for. We're looking for the exact same things at every restaurant. So we're, you know, one of the things is, will you still be thinking about what you ate a week from now? You know, so is the food, like, forgettable? Like, if someone asks you 2 days later what you ate, you're like, I think we had some pasta. And or are you like, we had this amazing cacio e pepe pasta. I'm still thinking about it. I want to go home. I want to make it next weekend. You know, that's kind of something that we're looking for in those restaurants. So we're looking at the food, obviously. You know, is there a lot of creativity, or is it just too weird? Is there a really good value for Cincinnati? I feel like in this community, I grew up here, you know, people are looking for a value. People don't want to spend a whole lot of money just because a place has a new reputation and then have to stop and get, you know, takeout food on the way home because they're still hungry. So we're looking for value, we're looking for service, we're looking for beverage.
Mm-hmm. I think the knowledgeability of the staff is really important. Are they able to guide someone? I mean, I use quotation marks, professional eaters in this instance, but for someone who is not eating out a lot, does the staff provide guidance and in a friendly, approachable way? That's something else that we look at.
Yeah, when you're coming up with this list, and you're all bringing in these different ideas, how much do you agree and disagree on who makes number one, who makes number two, who even goes into this list? I mean, how do you finally come up? I mean, do you get knocked down, drag out fights to come up with this? Or?
No, and I was surprised and relieved at how little disagreement there was by the end of it.
I was too, actually.
Yeah, it kind of worked itself out pretty easily.
Yeah, the sheets really help. And the way I always think of them kind of as a tool. And so, you know, we fill them out almost right away, either when we get home that night or by the next day, so that all the information is still really fresh in our minds. And then what we do is we average the sheets, the bottom score, the total score, because each thing is weighted by a number. And so then we have an average. So then at the end of all the dining, I have all the average scores that each restaurant comes up with. And invariably, the top three or four it's obvious. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. and so we go with that. But sometimes around the middle, we have like a three-way tie here for number six, or we have like, you know, a three-way tie for seven or eight, something like that. So then we kind of like talk it out and we're like, okay, well, you know, if you really think about this cocktail that we had there, that shows a lot more, you know, attention to detail. All the little elements were made from scratch, you know, so we kind of negotiate that between us. But usually within the top, you know, two or three, it is very clear. That's not something where we ever have three-way ties or anything. So we really let the numbers guide us, because I think that's the most fair way to do it.
And I'm talking with Cincinnati Magazine dining editor Joanne Drilling, contributing editor Alyssa Brandt, and contributing writer and restaurant reviewer Akshay Ahuja. And they're talking about the restaurants that made Cincinnati Magazine's top 10 list. Let us know what your pick for the best restaurant is, 513-419-7100. You can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's talk about the list. The order that I'm seeing in, you actually went. For instance, L appears at number one. That was your number one choice, right? They're in order. Is that correct as I look at this? Okay.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And that's an interesting name for a restaurant, L. So let's talk about L, why it made the list.
Well, I'll say something about the name, first of all, is that it comes from the names of the daughters of Chef Jean-Robert de Cavelle and Richard Brown, who is the maitre d'. So their daughters guided the name, but it is interesting.
And this is just the letter L.
Okay. Yeah.
I actually wrote a really great review of L before, well, right around the time that we did go there when we were evaluating. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that a little bit, actually?
Sure. I don't know. It felt like it was kind of a different era of dining, but not at all stuffy. It was, we had the prefix meal. It was, I think, seven courses, and there was just kind of a stateliness to it and a beauty to it. And yeah, we just, it was like a lovely, lovely meal. And when I ate there again, I had that same feeling of, I don't know, just an older way of doing things in terms of the care that they paid to each thing and the service that was there, and just like how lovely it was when they came to talk to us about the food and the wine that was served there. It was just a lovely experience.
And are they a relatively new restaurant?
They are.
Okay.
Yes.
What type of cuisine do they have?
It's French, I would say, in its tradition. What do you think, Joanne?
I would probably call it contemporary French fine dining, because it's not, you know, it doesn't have that sort of museum-like quality of like French food from the 50s or 60s, say. But, you know, it's definitely rooted in the classic French technique. But Jean Robert is notorious for cooking with a tremendous sense of like creative whimsy, and it's definitely on display there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so number two on the list is Mita's. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Who wants to tell me about that one?
Oh, I could eat the pozole that's pictured there. I could eat that five nights a week.
What page is that pictured on?
It looks like page 67, I think.
67.
And it just comes, it's this beautiful, vibrant green bowl of chewy hominy and seafood. And I mean, everything that's pictured there, it is just the freshest looking, brightest tasting thing I've experienced in a long while. I love that dish.
Yeah. Jose really nails this kind of sweet spot of the food being so fresh and feeling, you know, kind of healthy, kind of, I think I, you know, said virtuous in the review. But also, you know, it's such high-end ingredients. You know, this is a soup that is traditionally made, you know, to be very much a peasant dish. And, you know, his is full of prawns and lobster. And so it also feels really decadent and over the top.
Okay, Soto. The Soto is new to the list, isn't it? I mean, it's been on before, but this is a return for them, right?
It has. I should give the little caveat that, or give the explanation that I used to have this rule, which Jeff Matthews and I, who used to write the reviews for us, fought bitterly over, in that I wanted to only have one restaurant per kind of like chef group. So if a chef owned three restaurants in town, then we would just include one of their places on the list in an attempt to bring in more people and make it seem a little bit more equal opportunity. And Jeff was always like, no, I think we should just look at them completely across the board. So this year we decided that we would do that, that we would give, so you will see that there's two Jose Salazar restaurants on here. There's two David Falk restaurants on here. So this year the gloves were off.
So what put Soto on the list for this year?
Oh, the whole experience.
I mean, it was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think in addition to creative food, I mean, they make their own blood sausage there. I think, Joanne, you pointed out there isn't anybody else who's doing that in town. So that's
definitely
very unusual. But the atmosphere, the knowledgeability of the staff, it all kind of combined, I think.
It is.
Experience.
And, you know, our service was just impeccable. I mean, the waitress that we had did a really great job of making it fun, of explaining things really well, of pairing wines, making wine suggestions, of making it seem like, you know, she wanted to help us enjoy the evening, but without being like, you know, intrusive, without being bossy, it was just the epitome of hospitality. It really mm-hmm. was. And the thing about Soto is it's in a basement. I mean, it's cozy, it's casual.
Kind of clubby feeling.
Yeah.
It's transporting in a way.
Definitely.
So you'd like the atmosphere.
We did.
Salazar is number four.
Yeah, and that was actually, it was a late entry to the list. It was one of the last places we ate. I think it was at the very last restaurant.
It was,
there was just sort of this, I don't know, that chicken liver mousse was one of the first things that we ate there. And we're just like, this is astonishing.
Lots and lots of chicken liver mousse you ate, that was one of the places you ate it at.
Yeah, and we talked to him about the way that he did it. And there was just sort of it was very, very different than Mita's. It seemed to have like a very different feel to it, like a much more sort of playful, It was less anchored in a single tradition, and it was just trying all these different things, and almost just everything we ate there worked beautifully, I think. So, and it has this lovely sort of cozy, kind of very small restaurant kind of atmosphere to it, and it just felt like a really vibrant, exciting place to eat.
It feels very Parisian somehow in there. Everybody's sort
Definitely.
Of squinched in together, but yeah, the mousse here looks really good.
Abigail Street, who worked on that one?
We all ate there.
Okay.
All ate there, and then we all kind of like collaborate for the writing and take different, you know, pieces and different interviews and sidebars and things like that when we finally put this together.
Comes in at number five. Why did you put it on your list?
It's solid.
It is. Like, that is one of the things about, you know, Dan Wright and his team is that they do really solid, what feels like, you know, I'm going to say casual, not because it's, you know, because it's inexpensive or in any negative way, but it's a place you could go every single Wednesday mm-hmm. and feel like, you know, you look forward to going. It feels like a date night out, but yet it's not going to break your bank. You're not going to be feeling like, oh my God, we ate way too much.
And it's so approachable. I think the staff, particularly there, is so approachable. The way they've laid out the menu, particularly, I think the wine menu, you don't even have to know a lot about wine. And it's just very approachable and sort of easy to navigate the selections.
Let's see, Boca, number six. Tell me about that one.
Oh, my gosh. It's, you know, if Soto is the Prince Harry, then Boca is Prince Will. You know, it is like,
that's a great
analogy. What kind of cuisine is Boca?
I guess Italian en route, but it's more than that. I don't know. What do you think?
You know, they've got a lot of French technique at play, mm-hmm. too. And I think, you know, this year we saw a lot of global flavors involved, too. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's definitely one of the finer dining restaurants in the city, but it would be, I feel it's like it's kind of hard to nail it to a, you know, a specific ethnic inspiration, maybe.
Okay. Talk about number seven, which is Metropole.
I don't know, the charcuterie plate there is just such a winner. It's a little something for everybody. It's great for sharing. Mm-hmm. It just lends itself well to casual night hunkered down together over cured meats and delicious cheese.
And I'm always surprised it's a hotel. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It doesn't feel hotel-like. You know, it just...
Okay.
No, it feels like an art gallery or something.
Yeah,
which it kind of is. So.
Yeah. And the steak tartare. I have to always give props to that steak tartare. It's one of the best in town.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, let's see, this is new to the list. Miyoshi, is that the...
Yeah, we were always so relieved as diners when a Japanese restaurant would be on the schedule.
Because
we would be stuffing ourselves horribly. And then we'd finally be like, like a relaxing kind of
right.
meal on
not
the
so
horizon.
Much butter, not so much heavy cream, sort of a lighter. Yeah, that was a real... I don't want to say discovery because it's, you know, Miyoshi's been there for a long time, but I think we were so, as a group, just delighted
mm-hmm,
by that ochazuke. That was one of the things I ran home to, how can I make this at home?
There were so many dishes there that I'd never seen before on another Japanese menu, but and they were all delicious. Like, they weren't.
So they scored on variety then.
Yeah, variety and authenticity and just the freshness of all the ingredients.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
Number 9 is Venetian Taverna. Is that, am I saying that right, Joanne?
You are.
And am I,
you
know, okay, good. And that's
in,
also
in
the
past
list.
People who have dined with me, it always makes my, at the beginning when we were deciding where to go, I'm like, we have to go to Venetian Taverna. And in the past, people are like, I mean, it's good. But, and I'm like, no, I love this place. When it's time to go to dinner for my birthday, this is where I always want to go. Because what? I just think they, you know, they're up in Mason. They're in a strip mall. Nothing about it seems like, you know, the hot, flashy new place to go. But consistently, they turn out amazing food, super high quality, great global flavors. The owner is just, you know, he's the epitome of a gracious host. He goes to every table. He checks on people. He makes sure everybody's having a good, he makes sure everybody is having a nice time. I mean, just, and the bread is highly addictive.
Was that your best bread?
I think it was definitely one of the best breads. I mean, they're making it there in-house. Actually, went and interviewed, you know, the owner about how they make that.
Yeah, so the whole place kind of runs on this fresh pita bread, and, you know, you get lots of little dishes, and it's funny because you're so used to eating, you know, not great hummus and not great baba ganoush and stuff, and, you know, then suddenly when you see it just made beautifully, it's just sort of a revelation. So
I want to make sure we get number 10 in because we're running out of time.
Yes.
Orchids.
Yes.
Oh. Always a fixture on our list. Always.
Yeah, I was going to say, it makes the list pretty regularly, doesn't it? Yeah.
I just feel like the plates that came out of that kitchen just said joy to me, that someone was really having fun in the kitchen.
And we were having fun in the dining room.
Oh, yes.
Well, thanks to all of you for joining me this afternoon. Cincinnati Magazine dining editor Joanne Drilling, contributing editor Alyssa Brandt, and contributing writer and restaurant reviewer Akshay Ahuja. Where to Eat Now? The 10 Best Restaurants in Town appears in the March issue of Cincinnati Magazine, and you can find a link to read the feature at wvxu.org.